The U.S. Supreme Court, there were oral arguments yesterday in the case 303 Creative versus Elinus. Lori Smith, owner of a graphic design business in Colorado, creates wedding websites for marriages only between a man and a woman. That ran afoul of a Colorado state law requiring commercial businesses not to discriminate on the basis of, among other things, sexual orientation. In a court challenge, Smith's attorneys argue that requiring her to create websites for people in same-sex marriages, which she opposes, would amount to government-mandated speech. Colorado state lawyers say same-sex marriage is legal and businesses shouldn't discriminate based on that status. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think? Should someone, in this case a website creator, say, no, not going to provide services for people in a same-sex marriage, a same-sex wedding? What do you think about the issues at stake here? How do you want to see the court rule? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Kimmy King is with us, professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back.
Before we get to this case argued yesterday, some people may be looking at some of the basics and thinking, wait, didn't we already do this with that cake case also in Colorado?
Yeah, and sort of we did. In the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, at issue there was whether a cake maker could be forced or compelled to produce baked items that were to go to a same-sex marriage. There, the issue, however, was very narrowly decided. In that case, Colorado, same state, same Human Rights Commission, found that, in fact, the baker could be forced to bake that cake. When it gets to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court looks at the record and says, wait a minute, Colorado Human Rights Commission, you have previously told people who didn't want to, who wanted to have messages that were of hate, right, about either the KKK or the Nazis or their opposition to same-sex marriage, and said that though they do not have to be compelled to say those kinds of things. So the court in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case basically said that only you, Colorado Commission, and the way you behaved in this case is why we're reversing the decision. And they did not address the broader issue of whether you can be compelled to create the case or to create the cake, only that the person had been treated, had been discriminated against in being forced to make the message. So it was a very narrow ruling.
Okay, here we replace cake with website. I summed up very briefly the arguments, Kimmy. Can you take us through the arguments on both sides? First of all, the plaintiff saying, I want to design wedding websites, but only for one man, one woman in this marriage. My personal beliefs don't recognize same-sex marriage. What is the argument from her and her attorneys here?
Yeah, it's slightly different than what the original case had been briefed regarding. There, they had raised the religious liberty issue. What the court focused on here was the artist, the website designer, is saying, no, if this is about the message, you are compelling me because I developed this website in consultation with you. You are forcing me to create something. It's like the Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop case. You're forcing me with my message to send a signal about how I feel. And the court has previously said that people cannot be compelled by government. So they focused on the compelled speech argument, not as much as the religious liberty. The opposing counsel argued, said, well, if you allow this, then what's to keep someone from saying, I don't want to do a website for an interracial couple? I don't want to do a website, it was raised in a clip, for disabled persons, because I don't think disabled persons should get married. What does that do to our laws regarding public accommodations, that when you hold yourself out to the public, you have to treat everyone equally?
Now, I want to talk about what this doesn't cover. If this is something like a realtor or somebody who provides mortgages, say, or a hotel chain, this wouldn't talk about them, right? Those wouldn't be creative expressions. Those are a different kind of accommodations.
That's correct. It's a compelled message. And there's also an important distinction between identity, being LGBTQ, and the message that is being created. Lori Smith, the person who creates the website, the party involved in this case, has said, I have LGBT clients. I do all sorts of things with them, but I don't develop websites for their marriages. It's about the message as it relates to same-sex marriage that she is opposed to.
Talking to Kimmy King from the University of North Texas, looking at this U.S. Supreme Court case yesterday, web designer saying, I don't like this Colorado state law that says I would have to do a website for a same-sex couple. You can join in with your questions, your thoughts, your hopes for the outcome, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Well, to that point you were just talking about there, Kimmy, I want to give a listen to Justice Amy Coney Barrett, clarifying with Smith's attorney about the case. Here's a listen.
A heterosexual couple comes to her and in the engagement story part writes a story that goes like this. We met at work. We were both married to other people. But what began as late nights at the office quickly turned into love. After 6 months, we realized we could be happy only with each other. So we decided to begin our story today, got divorced, and are marrying each other. Does she publish it?
I don't believe that she would. I also don't believe that she would embrace or express a message that would essentially say it doesn't matter whether there is a marriage between a man and a woman. She wouldn't create that speech
either. So it's about the message and not about the sexuality of the couple that asked her to express it that matters.
Yes.
So it seems like some sympathy to that that argument, at least from one conservative justice, Kimmy.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but recently in the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates versus Becerra, there had been an issue in California which required all licensed and unlicensed centers that provided reproductive health services to women that they post a notice that if they were pregnant, that there was access to low-income abortion and reproductive health access. Pro-life forces argued and said, this is compelling speech. You are forcing us to put on our signs and to provide that information to clients that says that abortion is an option. And we disagree with that, you know, for religious reasons. The court in the Becerra case, 5-4, said, yep, that's right. That's government compelling speech. And that's why, you know, you can't be forced to do it, pro-life group. The liberals were in the minority. That decision was 5-4. The court has already found that government can't compel speech in that context. It should be no surprise when I think the court will come in 6-3 on this case because it's grown more conservative and find that this is, in fact, compelled speech.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Beloit. Mike, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. There is nothing in the Christian Bible that states anything that God don't want you to be gay. As a matter of fact, God sent the Son to die for all sins of all people. And if this woman thinks gay is a sin, then her job is to engage, pray, and forgive.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. And it's interesting, Kimmy, based on what you said earlier, that the argument turned from kind of a religious liberty case where Mike's comments might be more relevant to a compelled speech and a free speech case where they're not so much relying on saying, hey, this violates my religious beliefs. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that's why you see Amy Coney Barrett kind of feeding the question to the counsel for the website designer about, look, you're on firmer ground when you talk about the message that is being communicated, not about the beliefs. I mean, to the point of what your caller is making, and that's a strong point, and it's part of why we're so polarized on this issue between the public view of how people should be treated and the private opinions that people have. In the recent Senate amendments to the Marriage Equality Act, they point out that if it's a nonprofit group or a religious group, that they cannot be forced to provide goods or services. That's specifically in the Senate Act. Now, that only applies to nonprofit groups, religious groups. It doesn't apply to private businesses. And that's why this case has so much relevance. And I think that's why, as your caller's pointing out, the court's going to try to avoid that controversy and decide it under the compelled speech doctrine.
Thanks for that call, Mike. Kimmy King is with us, professor of political science at the University of North Texas, one of our go-to guests on all things U.S. Supreme Court related. Looking at this case heard yesterday involving issues of free speech, discrimination, and same-sex marriage, you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you watching for? What are you hoping for from the U.S. Supreme Court? Do you have questions about what's going on here, what it could mean? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Kimmy King from the University of North Texas, looking at a free speech, discrimination, and same-sex marriage case in the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments yesterday. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Kimmy, I want to give a listen to Justice Sonia Sotomayor. I'm bringing up an issue that you had alluded to earlier, sort of where's the line and what's next. Here's a listen.
But how about people who don't believe in interracial marriage? Or about people who don't believe that disabled people should get married? Where's the line?
A lot of hypotheticals and what ifs. What about that particular argument, Kimmy?
So this is where it starts to get difficult, right? The idea behind our public accommodations laws is that when you hold yourself out to the public, you as a person coming into that business, whether it's a restaurant, trying to get a cake made, you know, wanting to set up a website, deserve to be treated equally. And you really saw Sotomayor and Kagan and even Ketanji, you know, the new Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, go after the counsel for the website designer about what the implications would be. She got herself into a little bit of trouble. You saw Alito come in and try to help her out a little bit. Thomas did as well. But at the end of the day, she held tight to this idea that if there is a message that you are being forced to create, then it's something that is compelled speech and the government cannot do it. And she pointed out that 20 states already have laws on the books relating to this exact kind of public accommodations question as it relates to marriage equality, because it's a distinctive issue. So maybe watch for the court to kind of limit it like they did in the Masterpiece Cake Shop, and say, this is a narrow ruling that deals with the issue of marriage equality in a contentious issue that is relatively new in this court's jurisprudence, but compelled speech has a doctrine going back 70 years. In fact, it goes back to the fact that we can't force school children to salute and say the Pledge of Allegiance. So it has a long history of not letting government interfere with that communication.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jerry is with us in La Crosse. Jerry, hi.
Hello. Well, that was my point, that a person advertising his business as a cake maker or a website provider is offering it to everyone. And I think a solution might be for anyone who wants to limit it, to always be compelled to advertise that, yes, we offer this service to only Christians or only non-Christians or only Jews, you know, so that they're letting people know that they have this limitation. I don't understand why making a website is really a speech. I think it's just an art. It's a design. It's showing a picture of a couple of people smiling at each other or something. It's not a speech. Anyway.
Jerry, thanks a lot for that call. A couple issues there, Kimmy. Let's start with that second one first, because that is really at the heart of it. What is free speech? Is making a cake a free speech act? Is making a, you know, website, a kind of a cookie cutter layout website for a wedding announcement, speech?
Yeah, and to the point that your caller is making, it really is, it came up in oral arguments, exactly the point that he was raising, and that is, what if you have something that's like a plug and play, right, where it's just a little template that you fill out all of the information. In this particular case, the website designer works with the couple. And so, you know, there's kind of a larger question here of, why would you want to go to a business that doesn't want to respect your marriage and give them that business? But nonetheless, the point is that it's about the right. Think about the civil rights era, in which Blacks wanted to go to restaurants, they wanted to sit down and they wanted to eat. They didn't want to be served at the back window. The Supreme Court said, when you hold yourself out as a public accommodation, you can't deny based on somebody's race. That's about identity. To the caller's first part of the question, this issue of, why couldn't you put a sign up? In this case, it's not sure what that would be, because the theory of the argument here is that it's about the message. So, you know, perhaps having a disclaimer that says, I have the right not to endorse any message of which I do not approve, that might be a potential for the window or the on the website or whatever it might be. But I think it would be much more narrowly limited in this case, just because of the facts, and they focus so much on the message of endorsing marriage equality.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jerry. We'll go to Kane now in Milwaukee. Kane, hi, what did you want to bring up?
Hey, yeah, so the whole conversation is about someone's choice to not support somebody. And I'm just wondering, at what point does a person's choosing, you know, if you choose to be a Republican, all of a sudden now does that negate you from being able to get a latte at your favorite coffee shop? And at what point does that such transition to a point where it's so derivative of, like, well, you know, now you've got 10 different coffee shops for 10 different types of people.
Ken, thanks for the call. Kimmy, another, I guess, kind of slippery slope concern. What can be the basis for discrimination if the Supreme Court agrees with the plaintiff?
So the first thing you have to look at is it compelled speech? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be symbolic speech, making a latte, right? You're going to have to show, where is the expressive content that is involved. So in the first, you know, the test requires you have to establish, is it in fact expression or speech? And then is it, you know, being compelled against the speech rights or expressive rights of the person who's seeking not to be forced to do it? In the employment context, they found consistently that there may be instances in which you may be compelled, like, to have to do it because it's part of your employment agreement that you have. This is a little distinctive because you don't have an employment contract. You're holding yourself out to the public with the hopes of some kind of contract. The caller's point is absolutely well taken, and in the arguments it came up, you know, could someone who's a Democrat be compelled to have to write a speech for a Republican? That's kind of a hypothetical that doesn't really happen, because that person would not be hired in the first place. And the court avoided getting into those sorts of hypotheticals.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kane. Elise joins us now in Ashland. Hi, Elise.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to bring up?
Well, you know, one of the points that was raised earlier was, you know, the counsel for the web designer was saying that, you know, discrimination against queer people is controversial and therefore should be protected, whereas discrimination against disabled folks and people of oppressed racial backgrounds, you know, shouldn't be. But that to me is, you know, that begs the question. Well, what happens then, as we are seeing now, when open discrimination and hatred against Black folks, against Jews, against disabled people becomes more mainstream and popular? By that argument, that should be protected too.
Elise, I got you. We don't have a lot of time left. What do you think, Kimmy?
So the question that you're getting at is a really good one and a really difficult one. I do want to be clear on what the attorney for the website designer, the attorney Wagoner, said. She focused exclusively on the message, not decrying or that it was discrimination. It's more that she, as the website designer, could not in good conscience deliver the object that is requested by the couple that's seeking to promote their marriage equality. And that's where the problem becomes. There is a very important point here your caller is making. To what extent, if you say, look, you can start treating people different in public space, that's a slippery slope to starting to think that it's, you know, okay to carry out violence against people to accomplish your objectives of disagreeing with them. And that really was not any part of the court's view, and they weren't addressing that larger issue.
Thanks for the call, Elise. In our last minute, Kimmy, you mentioned you expect the conservative court to rule for the plaintiff here. It may depend, you know, how narrowly or broadly they rule. Do you think it's likely this is going to be the last case we see on these issues raised by accommodation issues in businesses dealing with same-sex marriage?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, these go to core values about how people believe and how we've changed in our views about these kinds of issues. And I think that part of what it will also do is it will spur people forward that where the change needs to come is from legislatures. And that you have to take actions to get them to protect those rights. And that's why the passage of the Marriage Equality Bill is a very important first step for persons wanting to protect LGBTQ rights. Strengthening hate crime laws to prevent the kind of violence against protected groups is also another route that I think that folks need to go. I think this idea that going to the court to protect your rights is not something that is going to continue to be the kind of fit frenzy that we've had. I think legislatures are going to start taking these issues up more.
Thanks to our guest, Kimmy King from the University of North Texas, looking at the U.S. Supreme Court case on free speech, religious beliefs, and discrimination. Oral arguments heard yesterday.